Okay.
Why do Taurus is second? You can't use Godzilla for.
I know nothing. I'm an LRX.
I don't care if I turn away from you.
Do it, you want?
Just press the
button. 23, 24.
Okay. We're in the beginning of Siman Shin Chaf. Discussing the middle category of fruits, the way we sing the Paskin in the end, like most Poskim say, Tutu Rimonim, some people squeeze them, and if some people squeeze them, then if you squeeze them and you're machshiv them, that makes it a mashke, and it's Aser mi de Rabbanan. We left off with this funny Magen Avraham. I haven't totally found a good shot in the Magen Avraham. If someone else has, they should please share. But the Magen Avraham points out that if you look in the Ramah says, Siman Shin Chaf, if Aleph u'makam shenagu lischod eza peiros lishtos, meimav machlit samayu tainug, in a place where the minig is to squeeze certain fruits, either to quench your thirst or because you enjoy drinking the juice, it's like Tutrimonim, which is Aser Midrabanan, to be Sochet, and even Mashkin Shazavuar Aser, if you had intended originally that these fruits would be squeezed. But if it's only the minute to squeeze these and drink the juices for a fuah, that doesn't really count. That doesn't give it any chashivas, doesn't make it a mashke. For a fuah, people eat all kinds of strange things. So that doesn't change the halacha at all. Now the Magen Avraham points out that for the Ramah it sounds like uvim makom shenagu ... dino kedut rimonim, that only in the makom that people squeeze certain fruits it's usher, but in other makomos it's mutter, as opposed to the Beis Yosef, who says that if anywhere people squeeze something, it's then usher to squeeze everywhere. So the Beis Yosef seems to be a machlokes. The Beis Yosef said if they squeeze it in one place, it's also to squeeze anywhere. The Ramah says it's only also to squeeze in that place. The Ramah would say that Tutim Rimonim are also only also to squeeze in places where some people squeeze them. The reason I'm a little confused by this Magen Avraham is because at first he says, Moshe emes v'tarasso emes v'diver emet Yosef temuim. First he sounds like he is defending the Ramah, not just defending the Ramah, but saying the Ramah is absolutely right and makes Yosef is absolutely difficult. But in the end, he seems to pass the length of Beis Yosef. That's the way the Achronim understand the Magen Avraham. It seems a little strange. I'd like to interpret it differently, that he was really trying to say Moshe Emes and Tarasso Emes. v'diver v'is Yosef t'mu him. But then at the end, he says that lachin b'shai, that these agasya that you call bareness, that you're not allowed to squeeze them, because in Medinas Ashkenaz, they squeeze them. So it sounds like if in one Medina they squeeze them, then everyone's also to squeeze them. So it sounds like in the end he's coming down on the side of the Beis Yosef and not the Ramah, even though originally he tried to defend the Ramah, and he somehow changed his mind in the middle.
Add another criteria that has to be there.
He does. He's still saying like the Beis Yosef instead of the Ramah.
But only if the whole world would happen and also to squeeze them. Not if
he's
like the Ramah.
Oh, hold on. So what you're saying is that, well, let's just bring this in. The Magen Avraham does add, he adds a discussion of what the Maskan is in the Sugya that we already discussed last time. He also adds the point of Tosfos. Tosfos points out we have a big problem. The Gemara said that Anshei Chutzol used to carry things on their heads, and that's still considered Patron Shabbos, Kol Achriyad, because Batla Daita Meitzel Kol Adam. So Tosfos says, as we see, that even if some people do something, Batla Daita Meitzel Kol Adam. But yet, these Arabs who grow thorns for their camels, we don't say Batla Daita Meitzel Kol Adam. So Tosfos says, no problem. He says, very easy. If people someplace do something and everyone else would do the same thing in their circumstances, right? If some people squeeze pomegranates, and we'd all squeeze pomegranates if we had a lot of pomegranates around. Or if Arabs grow thorns, and we'd all grow thorns if we had a lot of camels. So if it's something which we would all do if we were in the same place, then you say that's a real derech. But if it's something which we're all in the same place and we still don't do because we just think it's stupid, like Anshei Chutzol used to carry on their heads, and we all have heads also, and we don't carry on them because we think it's stupid to carry on your head, then you say Batla Daito Eitzel Kalad. So the Magen Avraham does add that factor. He quotes from Tosos. Tosos says that the only time you can be machshit the minhag of one place is if everyone else would do it if they were in the same circumstances. But if everyone else is in the same circumstances and decided not to do it because they just don't think it's a logical, smart thing to do, then you say, but l'daito etzel kaladim. So I think what David Lesson is trying to tell us is that, what David Lesson is trying to say is that really he agrees with the Ramah. Really the Magen Avraham is saying like this, which ends up being the Pesach of the Mishnah Berurah, but the Magen Avraham is saying like this, if people in one place make, let's just take an example, if people in one place make pear juice, and everyone make pear juice if they had a lot of pears, then that's also in the whole world. But if people in one place make pear juice, and everyone else wouldn't drink pear juice, even if they had pears, they still wouldn't make pear juice, then it's usher in that place, but mutter in the rest of the world. That's what you're saying. And that's how he's really saying Moshe Emes Rosh or Emes. The Ramah is right in a case where everyone else wouldn't do it. Yeah, that's what Tosfos says about the Anshei Chutzol. That's why I have trouble, I would love to say that, but that's why I have trouble believing that. So at first, meaning, what's the Shaykh of Tari? At first he wants to defend the Ramah. At first it's very logical. He says, look, so Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether the Arabs who raise their thorns makes thorns a dover that it's the derech to plant in the whole world, or only in Arabia. So the Beis Yosef seems to be like Rabbi Eliezer, what they do in one place makes it the derech in the whole world. The Ramah seems to be like the Chachamim, what they do in Arabia only makes it the derech in Arabia. The Ramah should be right, what they do in Arabia only makes it the derech in Arabia. However, then he starts to change his tune a little, because when he realized that's only in the Havmin of the Gemara, right? When they were comparing it to the thorns, which are Makom, and the Maskan of the Gemara, the way the Magen Avraham reads the Maskan of the Gemara, at least, that it's based on Achshevinu. If some people do it, plus your Machshevit, that makes it a Mashke. So then it doesn't make a difference if you're in the same place or a different place. Even if only very few people do it, if you're Machshevit, and there's someone else who does it, that makes it chashuv. So in the Maskana, even though originally said Moshe Emes Rosh or Emes in the beginning of the Sugya, according to the Maskana of the Sugya, which there, again, we have three ways to read the Maskana, but the Magen Avraham's way, in the mainstream way of reading the Maskana, the Halacha, is that it's Yorach Shevinhu plus the fact that some people do it, that makes it a Mashke and makes it Aser. So then he seems to be saying that if in one place they do it and someone else is Machshevit, then that makes it Aser. And this is no longer relevant to Machlokas for Eliezer and the Chachamim, because they were talking about without the factor of Achshevinu. Here we have the factor of Achshevinu. So Lemaisa, I don't totally understand this Magen Avraham, but what he seems to be saying in the end is two things, Halach Lemaisa. Number one, Machlokas between the Beis Yosef and the Ramah about whether what they do in one Makom makes it usher in other makomos. In the end, he seems to be saying, like the Beis Yosef, if in one makom they make, if in one makom they make nectarine juice, then every place is usher to make nectarine juice. And he also quotes this Yesod of Tosvos, which is that it only counts as a minig to do something if other people would do the same thing in the same circumstances. Otherwise, it's called batla daito eitz kol adam, and it's just stupidity. Yes, Zev.
I don't understand, because Anshe Hutzal, living in a country where everyone had everyone, and everyone did have the same accessibility.
You mean Beis Menashe?
Beis Menashe, I'm sorry.
No, so Tost assumes that Beis Menashe had a lot of Rimonim and other people didn't. That's why Beis Menashe made pomegranate juice and everyone else didn't.
Among them was careful to point out that they were one family within a country. So,
and that family had a lot of orchards of pomegranates. Other people didn't have so many orchards of pomegranates.
Other people in the same neighborhood, had they had the same orchards, would have done.
Sure, that's what Tosos assumes. You could disagree, but that's what Tosos assumes, that everyone, if they had as many pomegranates as Beis Menashe, they would do the same things. Just Beis Menashe were the pomegranate kings. They had so many pomegranates that they enjoyed pomegranate juice. Other people just didn't have enough pomegranates to make pomegranate juice. But if they had millions of pomegranates, they would have done the same thing. That's what Tosos assumes. Beis Menashe, like, they were the owners of all the pomegranate orchards. Okay?
When Magen Avraham says that it's only usher if they would squeeze it in other places, is that even in the place where they squeeze it, it's only usher if they would squeeze it in other places?
That's what it sounds like from the comparison to Anshe Hutzel, because Tosa says even the Anshe Hutzel in Hutzel doesn't count as a derech hotza'a, since other people wouldn't do it. Again, he doesn't say, but that's what I'm extrapolating. Halacha l'maisa, what does all of this mean to us? So halacha l'maisa, the Mishnah Brura. Halacha l'maisa, the Mishnah Brura says that we paskin against the Ramah, like the Magen Avraham's Maskana, like the Beis Yosef, that if they make juice in one place, it's also to drink that everywhere. So I don't know. I mean, nowadays, the global economy, they ship the juice... They ship the juices everywhere. But if there would be, I don't know, maybe in China they drink certain juices, then that would make it usher everywhere. But he quotes the Magen Avraham that when do we count the fact that some people make juice out of it? Only if everyone would enjoy the juice if they were in the same circumstances. But if most people would think that was a disgusting juice to drink and you would never drink a juice like that, and no matter how many fruits they had wouldn't make that juice, then it's mutter. Halacha l'maisa, the Mishnah Brura says that he's a little masupig at this Magen Avraham. In the Be'er Halacha, he deals with this at a little greater length. He says, look, this is all based on Tosos. It says the Magen Avraham, second din, is based on Tosos. Tosos says that it only counts the minhag if most people would do the same thing in the same circumstances. Said, look, a lot of Rishonim disagree with Tosos. Not all Rishonim agree with Tosos. That's only Tosos' opinion. The Rosh, whether most Rishonim, he thinks this, or many Rishonim disagree with Tosos. Okay? We don't always pass them like Tosos. Tosos is only one Rishon. Tosos had good luck. He's on the daf. But he's only one Rishon. We don't always pass them like Tosos. So he is very masufic about whether we make a like this Tosos or not. Halacha l'maisa, the Mishnah Brura seems to make a pshara, which is a lesson want to say the Magen Avraham held. But the Mishnah Brura sees this as a pshara, right? With great credit, I mean, I also thought that at first I wanted to say the Magen Avraham meant that, I just couldn't get it to work. So the Mishnah Brura makes a pshara. What's his pshara? He says, look, we have two machlokos here. The machlokos between the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, whether what people do in one place makes it us or in other places. And the machlokas between the Magen Avraham Tosfos versus the other Rishonim, whether we count a minhag only if everyone would do the same thing in the same place, or even if everyone would never do the same thing. So he says, Lemaisa, in the end, he says, I'll be Makil Bitzerif, both the Ramah and the Magen Avraham, but not just based on the Ramah, not just based on the Magen Avraham. What do I mean? If, let's assume, someone remind me next time to bring fresh markers. If, let's assume, in China, they squeeze K cantaloupe. Right? So, is it usur or mutter to squeeze it in China? And is it usur or mutter to squeeze it in Israel? And what would most people do? If most people had as many cantaloupes as the Chinese have, right? The Chinese have lots and lots of cantaloupes. They don't, do they? Okay.
Squirrels.
They squeeze rice. If most people would squeeze rice if they had as much rice, or most people wouldn't. So what would the Magen Avraham himself say? The Magen Avraham himself would say, look, I pass me again, I'm not like the Beis Yosef, that what they do in China affects China as much as it affects Israel. So if most people would squeeze rice, then it's usur in Israel and in China. If most people wouldn't, then it's mutter in Israel and mutter in China. Because butla daikta meitzel kol adam. That's what. Better example. China might be ruled for Olam. Let's assume only one town in China. Right? In Beijing. So, that's what the Magen Avraham would say. But the Mishnah Berurah says, I'm not sure about this kula. This is only Tosfos's kula, that we're totally mevatel people's das. We ignore people's minds and say they're stupid just because most people wouldn't do the same thing in the same circumstances. I'm a suffix about that. So you know what? I will, what the Mishnah Berurah does, it says, at least in Beijing, you should be machmir. Right? He says, meaning in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, in Israel, you can be mekel. In the Berel Lachis says, in the Mishnah Berurah, he basically sounds like, oh, this is what the Magen Avraham says, this is what the Magen Avraham says, that's mutter in Israel, see the Berel Lacha. The Berel Lachis says, well, the Magen Avraham is probably wrong, so it's usur, at least in Beijing. So what he seems to be doing is trying to, being very misogynistic about this, trying to come up with a pshara. So that seems to be the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. In Beijing, it's always usur, because we're not somech on the Magen Avraham and Tosfos, even though most people would never drink cantaloupe juice, even if they had a house full of cantaloupes. Maybe the people in China still have good das. Maybe their das is still chashiv. They're also intelligent people. So it's usur. If most people would squeeze it, then it's usur even in Israel. He's not going to be somech on the Rambam. He says like Beis Yosef. If they do squeeze it in one welcome, it's usur everywhere. But if most people wouldn't make cantaloupe juice, no matter how many cantaloupes they had, and you're now in Israel and not Beijing, then he says, look, the Rambam would be matur for one reason. The Magen Avraham would be matur for another reason. So then, okay, at least then you can get away with it. That seems to be the final psak of the Mishnah Berurah.
So, certain things that are specialty products that are only made for a certain portion of the population, or mainly made for a certain portion of the population, those would still be much different. For instance, rice milk. Rice milk is...
First of all, I have no idea what rice milk actually is. I don't know that they squeeze it out of rice.
Okay. All right, prune juice. So prune juice, most people don't drink as like some sort of enjoyment. They drink it because they have to.
Well, hold on. If they mamash drink it for a fua, then it might be okay.
Right, okay.
Right? So you have to ask, do people drink rice? Don't they drink it for tsame, tsimaon, or tainug? You have to ask, there are people who like prune juice. So I don't know. You have to find out if some people like prune juice. And I know a lot of people drink prune juice only for its medicinal properties. But there may be people who like prune juice also.
They don't really sell them in pharmacies.
Right, but if you give millions and millions of prunes to everybody in the world, they all would not start making, or Rome of them, I don't think, would start making prune juice.
Okay, so but...
Even though prune juice is sold in the stores.
But if you're in the Makom where some people like prune juice, then it's still the Mishnah Berurah would still be Macher. So, lemaisa, what does this all mean, halakha lemaisa? What can we squeeze? What can? So the Mishnah Berurah says, in Sivkot and Tes, says, tapuchim nowadays are like tutim v'rimonim, because he says tapuchim are tutim v'rimonim, he says apples are like tutim v'rimonim, basically all the poskim write that nowadays, almost all fruits are like tutim v'rimonim, because nowadays, almost all fruits are squeezed for juice. I know Rafi thinks only two Rimonim are usher and all Sharpiras are mutter, regardless, because the Chacham only goes there in two Rimonim, but the Poskim assume not that way. So so nowadays, most all Peros are usher because, and even according to this chart, if you think about it, most Peros First of all, I think a lot of these fruits, a lot of people might enjoy the juices. If they had a lot of those fruits, they would eat, they would drink that kind of juice. You know, it could be they don't drink it because it's very expensive. And they don't have so many fruits.
Would either they would drink it for time, or that they would actually squeeze it for time?
Meaning, not that they would squeeze it themselves, but that if they had so many pomegranates and they had plenty of money to hire people to squeeze it, they would send some of them to the factory to squeeze them to pomegranate juice. Hey, you don't have to squeeze it yourself. Meaning, if I go to the store and buy it, that also counts. Right? It just means that if I had to choose between a million pomegranates or, you know, between a box of pomegranates or a box of pomegranate juice, and I had lots of pomegranates, I had enough pomegranates to eat and to have juice, I would say, yeah, I'd love some pomegranate juice. That would be very delicious. And assuming it were, you know, I could afford to have the pomegranate juice, I would have it. Okay, I think that might be true of a lot of people. So, nowadays, almost all fruits are acidic squeeze. The only exception, and because even in our Makomos, people drink all kinds of fruit juices. The only exception would be, l'chora, what if, where we live in Israel, no one drinks juice of a certain fruit? And they mamish only do it in China. And in Israel, people don't drink it because they just don't like it and don't think that fruit should be made into juice. Then you can be made kilbut seir throughout law in the Magen Avraham. So if someone comes to you and says, I have a new chumra in China, they squeeze cantaloupes and they love cantaloupe juice, assuming China is the minority of the world, then you could say, look, since over here no one drinks cantaloupe juice, and we wouldn't drink cantaloupe juice even if we could because we think it's terrible, we think it's disgusting, then one can be mako. But that's very rare. Again, most fruits, even nowadays, you go into the makolet, and some people go to the makolet in our towns and buy, in Yerushalayim, many people go to the makolet and buy all kinds of fruit juices. And in that case, the Mishnah Berurah would end up saying, if many people in Yerushalayim drink all kinds of fruit juices, even if most people wouldn't even want that fruit juice at all, he'd still be machmir, because in this town, people drink that fruit juice.
Personal
achshavinim
has no role at all?
No, this is, the personal achshavinim is still necessary when only a minority of people in your town drink it. If only a minority of your town drinks it, then how does that help? The answer is your personal achshavinim. This is all with your personal achshavinim. This is all with your achshavinim. And it's Einach Nami, if you weren't doing an achshavinim, then it would be mutter.
Just that candle kiss, that was even mutter according to
the We don't know. We don't know if the Beis Yosef would agree with Tosfos or not. I don't know. They do it in one place, Tosfos everywhere.
Yes,
but maybe he would agree with Tosfos. That's only if other places would also do it if they were in the same situation. I don't know whether the Beis Yosef would agree with Tosfos or not. I have no way of knowing. Okay. That's the halacha l'maaseh of this. If there's no other questions, that seems to be the halacha l'maaseh. Again, if anyone has any more kedushin to work out, if the Magen Avraham really could be saying the Ramaz, right? I'd love to hear them. But again, the most of the achronim don't seem to have found such a solution. So l'maaseh, what we say, bottom line, is that if some people squeeze them and you are machshiv them, that makes it usur. Even if those some people, certainly if those some people are in your town, even if those some people are only far away, it still makes it usur if everyone would do it, were they in the same circumstances as that far away place. The end of Sif Aleph, the Ramah discusses another issue. He says, "V'chol zeh davka l'schor usur, aval mutar l'mtzos pivim anav mamash shivahem v'kol shkem shar dvarim." He says, this isur is all schita, but sucking the juice out of a grape, out of a grape is mutter, and for sure sucking the juice out of sharp papyrus is mutter. And some people say it's usher. So here he's bringing down, there is a machlok's rishonim, right? The uraim said it's usher to suck the juice out of fruits. The shibale leket said it was mutter to suck the juice out of fruits. There were two reasons why the shibale leket was mutter sucking the juice out of fruit, although only one of them is quoted by the achronim. The reason that's not quoted the Achronim, which is a little more speculative, is he wanted to say maybe it doesn't really have a haloshem mashke if it's in your mouth. Something in your mouth can't really be a haloshem to have the hashivas of mashke because it's already swallowed up by you. It's in your mouth. It only is considered mashke if it's sitting in and of itself. So that's why he wanted to be matar sucking because it never really becomes a mashke. That is not the explanation the poskim preferred. The explanation the poskim preferred for the Mako opinion is that it's not the derech of disha. And as we know, there's two types of not derech. Sometimes you do something not the derech, it's called kalachar yad, and it's usher midrabanan. Sometimes you do something that's really not the derech. It's just mutter legamrei. It's just mufka from the chalol shem of that malacha. So what the Shavuot Leket holds is that this is the stronger kind of not the derech, right? Like Rashi says, why are you allowed to cook in the sun? Bishul b'chama, because it's not the derech to cook in the sun. Everyone says, oh, if it's not the derech, it should be kalacha yad. It should be an iser d'rabbanan. So no, kalacha yad means you're doing it more or less the derech, just a little weird. But if you're doing something that's legamrei, not even, doesn't really resemble at all the normal way of doing it, that's heter gomer. It's just not within the hagdara of the malacha. So here also, Shabbat like it says, sucking with your mouth is just not within the hagdara of the iser of schita. The Taz seems to take a slightly different the. Yeah, the Taz wanted to prove. Well, sorry, the Taz wanted to prove Lekula. The Taz was note lehakel in this machlokas, even though the Ramah brings two deos, because he said maybe we have a general rule: anything done with your mouth is just not within the gedra of the malacha. Because we find that also by borer, that if you are borer while you are drinking, the you know, if you like, normally you're not allowed to strain liquids. That's a classic kind of borer or marakid or whatever the machlokes rabbi mazera. But if you put the cloth in your mouth and drink through that cloth, that's mutter, it's done through drinking. So anything which is done through the maisa, achila, and shtia is really mufka from the derech of the malacha. So the Taz wants to be machria lahakil on this, based on the comparison to borer, just like by borer, anything done in the act of drinking is not the derech malacha. So to endush, anything done in the act of drinking is not the derech of the malacha. However, that Taz is not, that's the Taz that's become big. The Taz is not, as he says, the Maishna Malachas Borer, mi Malachas Dush. But that Taz is not so mochrach, because Lachora, Shana Malachas Borer, mi Malachas Dush. In Malachas Borer, there's a whole heter of Le'alter, Vechuli. Meaning, Malachas Borer, we know it's a funny, unique malacha. Well, or at least, it seems at first glance to be a funny, unique malacha, in that it's actually mutter to borer in achiladik ways and usser in malachadik ways. That doesn't mean you can extend from that. That's the special within borer. There's a special rule you're allowed to do it if it's tied into your meal. Just because within borer there's a special rule doesn't mean that rule applies to all of us malacha. Maybe that's part of the uniqueness of borer. Just like there's one heter, I can pick things out with my hand and eat them. There's another heter, I can put a cloth in my mouth and drink. It's all one big heter that borer is mutter as part of a meal. Doesn't prove that the same is true about dash. So lemaisa, this taz does not carry the day. The Mishnah Berurah in the end, makes a pshara. He says, look, it's two dayas, so in daraisas I'll be machmir, and in darabanans I'll be makel. Very logical. So for grapes and olives, which are daraisa, he's machmir. You can't suck the juice out of a grape or an olive. For other fruits, which are only darabanan, he's makel. You can suck the juice out of a pomegranate or a lemon or a grapefruit or a, you know, plum or vichuli vichuli. That's his pshara. He has one other pshara as well. He says, look, there's two types of, he says, not the two types, there's something which is even more different than sucking it out. Sucking it out means I hold the grape and I suck the juice out of the grape. Then there's something else. I put the grape in my mouth, I chew the grape, swallow all the juice, and then I spit out the skin and whatever pulp is left. He said, that is definitely, that's for sure. Everyone agrees that's not the derech of shchita. That's for sure, Motar. I put something in my mouth, chew it, and then spit out the solids and swallow the liquids. That's for sure okay, because that's definitely not the derech of shchita. But if you're talking about sucking with your mouth, like holding it in the air and sucking it with your mouth, that's when he makes a pshara that he's not sure if it's the derech or not the derech. So in daraisa he's machmir, in darabanan he's makel.
How far do we have to take this? I know the plant,
no, he's here talking about in the act of eating. He's not necessarily talking about la'altar.
No. In other words, how far?
You mean when he says maishna dash maishna borer? Would he say that about everything? So I'm not sure. The truth is that's a machlokes, Rav pointed out to me today, between the Eglay Tal and the Shvisas HaShabbos. Do we learn the heter of La'alter from Borer to Dash? So, I mean, it's hard to tell, because just because he says in this context, Maishna Dash, Maishna Borer.
Yeah, he says that.
No, that's, I mean, we'll wait till we get to it, but I think he means something slightly different there. But, Taka, why isn't there a heter of Dash La'alter? So the Shvisas HaShabbos says, because Borer is unique, the heter of La'alter, and Dash is not unique. And you might say, why is Borer unique? Because you're not really doing anything. After all, you're not changing the object. You're just taking it and putting it here and putting the other object there. So since Borer is almost like a Melacha Grua, my words, not his. So then the heter of La'alter. By Dash is no heter of La'alter. But the Eglei Tal seem to assume that by Dush there was a heter of La'alter, because if you remember our discussion of peeling, etc., the Eglei Tal says the reason it's mutter to peel your inner peel of the nuts and the peanuts and the chuli is because if you're doing it La'alter, and it's the derech to do it La'alter, that's mutter. Meaning that he did have a heter of La'alter for Dush, just with its own rules. The heter of La'alter for Borer has certain details, the heter of La'alter for Dush has other details. But he did seem to say fundamentally there's a heter la'alter for dush. So that seems to be, that's a bigger issue, where you generally equate dush and borer, which the Eglei Tal seems to. Again, he doesn't use biyad, no dof soles, but he uses the appropriate rules for this context. While the Shvisas HaShabbos fundamentally does not equate dush and borer. The Taz here seems to be on the side of fundamentally equating dush and borer in the Eglei Tal, although, you know, I don't want to speak for him.
When the Mishnah Berurah said that it's meant to put the whole grape in your mouth spit out the seeds. So is he saying, is he dealing with the potential problem of spitting the seeds out that might be dosh, or is he talking about chewing the...
He's talking about chewing and swallowing the liquid.
The liquid. So if you hold the grape in your hand and you take a bite out and chew up and suck out the liquid, even though you don't have any seeds in your mouth, that would be a problem.
Suck out the liquid from
the liquid. You take a bite out of the grape, you eat half the grape. And then if you just eat half the grape, and you have the other half in your
so
hand.
So what could possibly be the problem then?
Because you're holding it in your hand.
You're not taking any, you're not doing any schita. If you just eat half a grape, there's no schita there. And by chartzanim here, I don't think you mean seeds. I know it's machlokas rashi and onkelos, right? What are chartzanim and what are zag in the parshas Naso, but I assume he means the skins here. Not these seeds. Sif Beis brings us sugi from here, also from the first parak. Zeisman Namshin Nisrasku Meir of Shabbos Mashkin Ayotz Mehem Mutarim. If they were already Nisrasku Meir of Shabbos, then the Mashkin that come out of them is mutar. I mean, if they're already crushed from Erev Shabbos, it just once you crush the grapes, it takes a little while for the juice to flow. Then it's mutar to drink the Mashkin that come out of it. Mutter to drink the mashkin that come out of it. What's the basis of this heter? So this actually seems to be a machlokas between the Tor and the Mechaber. It's in generally machlokas Rishonim. But in the Bir Halacha, he points out that the Gemar is mechalik between two levels. There is Mechusarin Dicha and Mechusarin Shchika. The Mechusar and Dicha means they've been broken, but they haven't been squeezed. Mechusar and Shchika means they've been broken and squeezed, they just haven't been flattened. And once you do Shchika, I mean, there's nothing left. It's just paper thin. The Tor...
What was the second one lacking?
What? Mechusar and Shchika. The Gemara makes that chiluk. I think it's about chlokas, whether it's Mechusar Mechusar and Dicha or Mechusar and Shchika. It's about chlokas, showing how to interpret the Gemara. The Tor was only matter mechusar and shchika. That's what the Torah says here. Mechusar and shchika, the Bir Halacha brings it down, is mutter. Why? Because we paskin that this is it mutter usher to squeeze? This is usher midrabanan. If it's mechusar and dicha, it's usher midrabanan. If it's mechusar and shchika, it's mutter to squeeze.
Again, I apologize for these markers.
Can you squeeze it? If it's mechusar and dicha, then it's aser midrabanan. If it's mechusar and shchika, then it is much of a squeeze. That seems to be the maskana of the Gemara. I guess you could. This is not a phrase from the Gemara, but if you can make up a phrase, Mechusarin Risuk, that would be chayiv for squeezing them. That's the initial breaking of the olives. Although this is not a Gemara phrase. Only these two are Gemara phrases. So, the Torah assumes that if it's Mechusarin Shechika, meaning they've been broken, they've been pounded, they just haven't been pulverized. So then, it's mutter taka to be shochet them. So of course, it should be mutter to drink the juice that comes out of them, because what's the worst that'll happen? Like, zera, lest you pulverize them, you're allowed to pulverize them. So the Torah says that there's a heter v'chusar and shchika, if they're already broken and pounded, just not pulverized, then any juice that comes out of them is mutter, because there's nothing to be gozer there. You're taka allowed to finish pulverizing them on Shabbos. But the Beis Yosef rejects the Torah and the Mechaber. If you notice what the Mechaber says, it says, once it was Nisrasku, the Mashkin Ayotzin are mutter. Why? Mashkin Shizavu. He says, once it's Nisrasku, once there's the initial break, even if it's Mechuzar and Dicha, it hasn't been pounded yet, even though it would be us or Drabbanan to pound them, and if you drink the juice that flows out of them, you might be tempted to pound them a little and do an Isser Drabbanan. It's still mutter, because the Mechaber holds that they weren't gozed, Xer Mashkin Shazavu, lest you come to do Dicha, because Dicha is only in Issa Drabbanan. So they weren't gozed, Xer L'Xerah, in this case. So the Torah is more Macher. He says only mutter drink the juice when there's no chash at all that you might come to do any Slita. The Mechaber's Makeli says, even if there's a chash, you might come to do Dicha. There's no problem during the Mashkin Shazavu, because we don't make a Gzera in the Mashkin Shazavu, after you might do just a Gzera of Dicha, since Dicha itself is only a Gzera Atu Risuk. The logic here seems to be that once you do, this is from the Gemara, once you do your initial breaking of the grapes and the olives, all the juice is going to come out eventually. All these other things do is make them come out quicker. That's not Midoraisa, it's not a Malacha to make the juice come out quicker once it's already released. It's like the juice is imprisoned. Dosh is to, or shchita is to, get it out of that prison. Once it's already coming out, so just getting it out a little faster is not a malacha d'oraisa. So the risuk is asa d'oraisa, the breaking. The dicha is asa d'rabbanan, atu risuk. The shchita, the final pulverizing, since that's so different from the initial breaking, that's heter gomer. And the Torah is only master in the mashkin shazavu when it would be heter gomer to pulverize them. We paskin kolshin is rasku, as long as there's no more iser d'oraisa in squeezing them, the mashkin shazavu are mutter. Then he goes on to say that v'afilin lonus rasku mir shabbos, another case of the heter mashkin shazavu, which is totally unrelated, just another heter mashkin shazavu. In yesh yayin begigas shanavim besocha, afli shanavim misbakin b'shabbos begigas, mutter l'shtoso b'shabbos. If you had some grapes in a barrel of wine, and these grapes opened up and cracked on Shabbos and let out their mashkin shazavu, which immediately blended into the wine. It's mutter because of the principle of bitul isurim, right? So if I have a barrel with lots of wine, and I have some grapes in them that let out some lots of mutter wine from Friday, some grapes let out some usur mashkin shazavu wine on Shabbos, that's fine, because the usur mashkin shazavu wine is bitul in the mutter, is bitul in the mutter, rove wine. Now, the chiddush that we're showing him here, this seems to be fairly obvious, everyone knows about bittel, is that even though there really shouldn't be any bittel in mashkin shazavu, because mashkin shazavu are a classic davar sheyesh lamatirin. All you have to do is wait till Matzah Shabbos, everyone knows davar sheyesh lamatirin. Hopefully, even those who have not learned your day yet. No, the davar sheyesh lamatirin is not bittel. So this is the chiddush that we're showing him have. That a Dovei Sheish Lamatirin that was never Nikar Bifnei Atzmo is Batal. The only time the Rabbanim were Gozer, the din of Dovei Sheish Lamatirin in a Batal, is when the Dovei Sheish Lamatirin existed recognizably in and of itself and then got mixed. But when the Dovei Sheish Lamatirin never existed in and of itself, it was already born Batal Barov as a minority of Ataroves. Right, because this, the Isser was only born when it was already Misarev, Mimanavshach. As long as it was in the grape, it wasn't Mashkin Shazavu. Once it left the grape, it was already Misarev with all the other wine. So for the second the Isser was born, it was already Misarev. The Rabbanim weren't Gozer, the Isser, of Davar Sheish Lamatirin, Lo Batel, in such a case, when you never actually saw this Isser with your eyes in and of itself. So therefore, there's no problem, even though it's a Dovr Sheish Matir, and it's still Batel. The Mishnah, there's a bit of Machlokas Achronim here. What about putting what the Mechaber doesn't discuss? Can I put these grapes in Lichachila? Right? Can I put these grapes into this barrel of wine Lichachila on Shabbos so that they will crack open, release their juice into these barrel of wine, and that'll be okay because they'll all be and it won't be a problem with Dovr Sheish Matir. Can I actually put it in Lichachila? So, this is a machlokas, the Taz and the Aruch HaShulchan. That, what? On Shabbos. Can I put it in Erev Shabbos for sure? I mean, that's the case of Shulchan Aruch. Well, Lechor, the Shulchan Aruch means I could have put it in on Erev Shabbos also. So if I put it on Erev Shabbos, that's the Shulchan Aruch being Mekum. Can I put it in on Shabbos? So the Taz says, no, I can't put it in on Shabbos. Because if I put it in on Shabbos, forget about Mashkin Shazavu. If I put it on Shabbos, I am causing the juice to leave this grape on Shabbos. Meaning I'm doing a dosh. I'm doing the farik on Shabbos. Right? If I put the grape in the barrel on Shabbos with kavana, the grape crack open, and all the wine in the grape leave the grape and go into the barrel. So in that case, I'm purposely doing a mefarik of getting the mashka out of the grape on Shabbos. So that's aser. The Aruch HaShulchan here in Sivkat Tazvav, the Shvisa Shabbos also, coincidentally in Hilchas Dosh, Sif Tezvav, also agree with the Taz that it's Aser. This is a chash of Mefarik, because I'm putting a grape in, I'm doing a Maisa, which causes the grape to open and release its juice. However, the Magen Avraham quotes in the Bach that it's Mutter, the Mishnah Brewer passing this way as well, the Mishnah Brewer paskins that it is Mutter, that's not considered Slita. Not 100% sure why, but it seems to me, he says, this isn't bichlal, the gedder of schita, to just put something someplace where it'll on its own open up and release its juices. Only schita, like, squeeze out the juice. This isn't the gedder, the malach of dosh, the gedder, the toladus, the malach of dosh, to just put something someplace where it will, on its own, release its juices. So that's why the Mishnah Berurah paskens in Sifkatan Yud Dalet, that they're going to write, that again, there's the Mishnah Berurah, Magen Avraham in the Bach, against the Tazi Aruch HaShulchan, the Shvisa Shabbos, the Mutter Lassus Anam Shabbos Tocha Yayin Shesbaki Yitzu Yenam, it's even Mutter to put grapes into wine in order that they crack open and release their wine and add to the wine. Likewise, you can soak raisins in wine, so that the raisin in water, so the raisin juice will go out and make it a raisin drink. Just like we see by Shelleg later on in Sif Tes. Now, this is again, this logic is not so pashut. This Mishnah Berurah's logic, because the Mishnah Berurah says, just like everyone knows, you're not allowed to melt ice or snow, but you're allowed to melt it into water where it's not nicker and it just blends with the other water. It says so too here. You're allowed to put the grapes someplace where they will release their juices into the existing wine. The Taz, the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Shvisa Shabbos say that's not so pashut. By Shelleg, there's no schita involved. You're not getting anything out of anything else. You're just melting the ice and turns into water. You're not getting one thing out of another thing. There's no chash melacha there. There's not even a hint, not even a link to any melacha there. So there's no chash melacha. Over here, there's a chash melacha. You're getting one thing out of where it's enclosed in another thing. So they say it's still schita. The Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham, you have to say they didn't express themselves fully. They said yes, in some ways, like Shelleg. It's also not schita because this is not the derech of schita. Well, I can't, again, misvara, I would have thought to say like the Taz, I must admit, misvara, I would have thought to say like the Taz, like the Aruch HaShulchan, like the Shvisa Shabbos, that this is schita. Maybe it's schita you did grumo, but it should still be some sort of iser. You are putting the grape in a situation where it will be caused to open up and release its juice. And echnami. Snow, ice, you're allowed to melt into water. Everyone knows that trick. If you take your ice out and put it on the table, it's going to melt. You put some water in. So that it won't be nicker that it's melting. Sure, because by ice, there's no schita. Nothing's inside something else. There's no chashash melocha. It's just a gzeira biyama that it looks bad. Okay, so if it's melting into water, it doesn't look so bad. But misfar, I would have said like the Taz, I would have said that over here it's a real malacha. You're actually causing schita to happen just indirectly. However, the Minhag Olam seems to be like the Mishnah Berurah here. Again, not that we usually put grapes into grape juice so they'll open up and add more grape juice on Shabbos. Not that we usually put raisins into water so they'll crack open and make a raisin drink on Shabbos. But we put tea, lemon into tea and into Coke so that the lemon will release its lemon juice into the tea and Coke and flavor it on Shabbos. It seems to be the Minhag is like the Mishnah Berurah and Magen Avraham, which is, even though it doesn't seem to be a stronger svara, that's the Minhag Olam that we just say that's not bechlal, the malacha of schita, to just put it and have it happen on its own. That's what Mishnah Berurah meant. It's like melting the snow. It's not a chash malacha at all. This isn't a derech of malacha. It's just like melting the snow. It's mutter.
Even when it ties, would it be restricted?
What? L'chora, it would be mutter to drink it, except for the there's another problem that I'm about to mention, but according to what the Taz said so far, it should be, he would admit it's mutter to drink it, she has also to do it. Because, you know, even though, now that you've done an Isser, it's an Isser of Maisa Shabbos to drink it, but still, it's Batel Mei Kara, so it's Batel Barov, and it's not a Dovishish Lantei Rung, because it wasn't Nicker.
Isn't that associated to Taz later, who says that you're allowed to squeeze lemon in the mate?
Forget about lemon specifically. The truth is that I don't see how this is against the Taz. That's talking about, well, we'll get to that. That's only a very specific case. Lemaisa, of course, you could say there's no raya from lemons, because maybe our meaning is just this mutter to squeeze lemons. After all, we don't put oranges into Coke and tea. So maybe I don't know what the Minhag Olam. Maybe the Minhag Olam is not like the Mishnah Berurah Taka. Maybe the Minhag Olam's that's just like the Mishnah Berurah Bitseiruf, the fact that the Shulchan Aruch is not just squeezing lemons in the first place. So what in that community could you put orange into? Could you put a slice of orange into your tea so that the juice will go out, or a slice of orange into your Coke so the juice will go out? I'm sure it would taste good. So, I don't know. Maybe that's, maybe it's not so pashut. I don't know. Tzarech Iyon. There's another Tzarech Iyon on this Mishnah Berurah as well. And this Mishnah Berurah is full of Tzarech Iyons. So one tzarech iyun is just there's a machlokes achronim taka. Is it considered schita? Again, it's for sure not an iser b'dievet to drink it when you put grapes into your grape juice, because it's batel barov and it's never nicker from the aspel. There's no davar sheish matirin. But is it mutter to do it on Shabbos, to put them there on Shabbos? So it's machlokes achronim. I would think misvara that it should be usher. The Mishnah Berurah says mutter apparently just thinks it's not shaychus of dosh. Just put something and have the juices come out by itself. I'm not sure what the Minhag Olam is, because can't bring any rice from lemons, because lemons might be mutter to squeeze anyway. And so, I'm not sure what the Minhag Olam is. Nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah is makel at least. There's another strange thing about this Mishnah Berurah, which is that the Mishnah Berurah says, I can put raisins into water and drink that raisin drink on Shabbos, because the raisin juice is batel to the water. Right? So this is a little strange also, because why is the raisin juice bottled to the water? Because there's no Dover Shesh Lamatirin if it wasn't Nikr B'Teatzmo. But Yonos will tell me, forget Dover Shesh Lamatirin. This is a case of?
Tom
Kaker. Right? Dover Shesh Lamatirin means this or Kol Shehu. Even without, forget about Dover Shesh Lamatirin. Everyone knows no St. Tom is Usser. Right? Obviously it's no St. Tom. Otherwise, why are you putting your raisins into the water if you don't want it to give a Tom? So this Mishnah Berurah is very strange for another reason. I understand why he's matur putting a few grapes into the barrel of wine. Yeah, a little grape juice will come out. It'll be a kol shehu. That kol shehu, don't worry about davar sheish lamatirin, because it wasn't never nicker from the atzmo. But putting raisin into the water is not just a mashu. Putting raisin into the water totally changes the flavor of the water. That's tam. Tam is not batel. Tam is never batel. Even if it wasn't nicker from the atzmo, tam is never batel. No one ever heard that tam is batel. So that is that's very strange. I don't fully understand this Mishnah Berurah Lemaisa. It's a strange heter. Apparently, someone told me that last year, Sobolovsky wondered about this also. He said he asked the Minchas Asher.
That was about lemons.
What?
The lemons in the Coke.
Right, this, you get the same kasha of lemons. You know, unless you hold as mutter to squeeze lemons, how can we? Ma'is mechol yom. I mean, forget about lemons for a second. We do this Mishnah Berurah. We put lemons in our tea and add lemon flavor to the tea. So, number one, that's like the Mishnah Berurah that's not schita against the other poskim that is schita. Okay, so you can say we all like the Mishnah Berurah. Number two, what about the fact that it's mashkin shazavu? It's mashkin shazavu from a pre that was omid l'mashke, because this lemon was intended to get the juice into your coke. It's mashkin shazavu from a pre that was omid l'mashke, which is no same time, so how can it be batel? Nesina's time. So, apparently the Minchas Asher didn't really have an answer for that. He just said that he was surprised, really, that the Nisr of no same time, even if it was never Nikr Pnei Atzmo, and the Mishnah Berurah does seem to say that yeah, because if it's been his batal b'shishim, which he goes to the Prima Gadim, who goes to the Zol explicitly, he endorses the Prima Gadim, that only if there's bitl b'shishim, only if there's bitl b'shishim, can you use this heter of Einu Nikr Pnei Atzmo. But if there's no bitl b'shishim, because it's no same time, then Taka, this Mishnah Berurah is a big tzarich again. So I really...
The same Mishnah Berurah, he says,
it's yeah. So I really don't understand this Mishnah Berurah.
But does Taka Iker apply to products of a malacha versus the town of Isser? In other words, there's nothing inherent about the raisins themselves. It's just what was done to the raisins.
No, but it's the time of the raisin juice, this Iker. Right, the raisin juice mixed with the water. The time of the raisin juice should make the water usser.
Is Taka Iker part of the product of a malacha?
Why not? The Mishnah Berurah says in this Batal B'Shishim, obviously the old time kicker does apply. So I really don't understand this Mishnah Berurah. Why Taka do we put lemons into Coke and do we put lemons into tea on Shabbos? So it could be two answers. Either number one, we don't like the Mishnah Berurah, so I don't understand the Mishnah Berurah. Maybe I've gotten you to not understand the Mishnah Berurah also. Maybe even I've gotten Rabbi Solovsky and the Minchas Asher to not understand the Mishnah Berurah. Nonetheless, the Minigolim could be the Mishnah Berurah smarter than all of those people put together. And he had an explanation. Or the Minhag Olam could just be that it's mutter to squeeze lemons, which we know is a machlokas achronim. So I'm not sure what the, I'm a suffix what the Minhag Olam is, meaning, could I put oranges into tea? The Mishnah Berurah would say for sure. He would say even grapes, or shajah rice I could put it. So is the Minhag Olam like the Mishnah Berurah and Taka I could put oranges and grapes and olives into my tea? Or is not, maybe the Minhag Olam only the Mishnah Berurah, but say if that lemons might be mutter anyway, according to the Rishonim. So I'm not sure exactly if the Minhag Olam was like the Mishnah Berurah or only in lemons. I don't know, does anyone know if there's a Minhag Olam to do this with any other fruits?
Lime.
The lime is the same as lemon. Lemaisa. I mean, if it's mutzah squeezed lemon, it's mutzah squeezed lime. It's hainu ha, just a different color. So, yeah.
Someone sells lime juice.
What? And his lime might be better than lemons.
Right.
Sometimes you buy lemon cherries.
You can't really buy lime juice.
I mean, you can't. Ah, Tarkian. Whatever. Lemaisa. Limes are at least as good as lemons.
People put cherries in some alcoholic beverages.
People put cherries, but is that for the taste or for design? Or for the look?
I don't know.
I'm not a bucky in these things. I don't know. The cherry might just be for decoration.
Olives and martinis.
That might also be for decoration. But I don't know if people put olives and martinis on Shabbos. Meaning, I don't know if the Minhag Olam of Frum HaYidin is to put olives and martinis on Shabbos, because I don't think Frum HaYidin drink martinis on Shabbos. I'm not even... Probably many people don't drink martinis at all, such as myself, but even though there are probably a significant number of Yerushalayim, very, very Frum Jews who drink martinis, probably not on Shabbos. So, I don't know. Tzarchiyim. Okay. That's... So, if anyone has any more to add, please feel free. The Shulchan Aruch continues then. So, again, we have two significant issues in this Mishnah Berurah. One is a machlokes, okay, the Mishnah Berurah says one way. The other, I'm say the other way, and the other is really a tema that I just don't know how to answer in the Mishnah Berurah. The Rabbi Miller said he wanted to say maybe for the Mishnah Berurah that really we're misunderstanding the Mishnah Berurah, and the reason it's mutter to put raisins into the water is because the raisin juice doesn't come out at all. Just the raisin taste comes out. But I'm a little misuppic about that, because the chort should take 24 hours for the raisin taste to come out if the juice doesn't come out. And, you know, that then it would be hachana for after Shabbos. So it doesn't sound like that was what was going on, so I'm not 100% sure. All right, sorry. The in Sif Gimel then, the Shulchanor continues. He says, Chartzan v'zagin shenasun le'mayim lasos temed. If you had the pits and skins of grapes, meaning you already made the grape juice, now you just want to get a little more out of it. You know, you want to get your full money's worth. So you put more water on it to make this temed, this like inferior type of juice that you get from putting water onto the psoles, but it still gets a little grape taste. You're allowed to drink this temed on Shabbos. And even if you didn't put any water, just on its own juice came out of this psoles of the skins and v'chuli, it's still mutter. So the Mishnah points out that really the there are two sort of svaras at play here with these skins and seeds. Number one is that if they've been dripping the whole time, then it's mutter because the principle we saw that it's batel berov, right? If they've been dripping from Friday, it's mutter for this principle that it's batel berov, and it's not a derushation latirin because it was never nikkur from the atzvah. But he says in this temed, you don't even need to come on to that. Mishnah says, because in this temed, it's already nisrasku. If all you're left with is the seeds and the peels, then it's for sure within what we said before, already nisrasku. It's magnated to be mechusar in anything at this point. So that's why there's no gzeira on the mashkin shezabu. The Mishnah points out, so in these skins and peels, things are already nisrasku, but you don't know gzeira at all. If you would have a different case, though, if you would have raisins, then he says the raisins, it would only be mutter if it went into something else and became batel. But if raisins have never been crushed at all, so if the raisin juice came out by itself, it would taka be usher on Shabbos. But if it came out into something else, it would be batel, like in Sif Beis.
My understanding of the case is that you have this whole vat of grapes that you're then crushing, and then the juice flows into some sort of sieve, keeping the grape pieces up. So when you pour water on all these grape pieces to have then the extra juice, whatever juice and taste is left, then flow down, isn't that borer? Am I missing something?
Hold on, you're talking about Sif Gimel or Sif Beis? You're not putting anything on Shabbos.
You said you're adding the water to make this.
No, Shabbos only mine lost was temp.
Oh, you did it before Shabbos.
Yeah. Yeah. If you did it before, to put the water on Shabbos, taka is also a sugya we'll get to a little later. But for now, let's not deal with that. Then in Sivav, we already get to a very, very big Lemaisadik sugya. Motor listrot eshkol anav and lasoch kdei rashi yesh batav shukadei latakein ha'ochal. You're allowed to squeeze a bunch of grapes, even grapes which are doraisa, into a pot of food in order to improve the food. Davali mashke b'lochal ha'ochal dami. Because the mashke that's going into ochel is considered like ochel. Avalim ein batav shel aser. But if there's a pot without food in it, it's aser. So let's come back to that last line in a few minutes. The first line is very important. This is, you'd think this should be the most pashut halacha in the whole world, because it's a mefurish gemara. Twice Shmuel says it in Daf Kuf Mem Daled Amud Beis, and then Rav Chisda is medayik from it, and then Rav says it again in Daf Kuf Mem Hei Yom Aleph. He says very pashut, we have a principle, mashka bala ochel ka ochel dami. What does that mean? If you have liquid, even though it's liquid, but if it's on its way into a solid, then it's already considered an ochel. Because, in general, this makes a lot of sense. We know from Tumah V'Tara, and for general Chal HaShems in the Torah, certainly Tumah V'Tara, the Chal HaShem of something doesn't usually depend on what it looks like, per se, to the naked eye. It depends on what its ultimate purpose is, what its destiny is, what it's used for. So therefore, if you have a mashke that's just on its way dripping into an ochel, but it ends up in an ochel, then even before it gets to that ochel, its ultimate purpose is to be an ochel, so it's considered an ochel already. So if I squeeze my grapes, even though as I squeeze the grape, a drop of grape juice comes out, which is a mashke, since that mashke is falling into a pot of ochel, that's not a mashke, it's really an ochel halachically, because its destiny is to be eaten, not to be drunk. So I'm taking an ochel out of an ochel, that's the phrase called ochla de ifrat, and taking an ochel out of an ochel is not dosh, because to be dosh, you have to take one thing out of another thing. Either ochel out of psoles, like when I actually get my oxes to step on the wheat and get the ochel out of the shells, or when I take off the klipa yeroka from the egozim, etc. Or mashka out of ochel, that's classic squeezing grapes and squeezing olives. But an ochel out of an ochel, that's not dosh, because that's not getting one thing out of another thing. It's just taking the same thing and breaking it in half and putting half here and half there. Again, if I take a loaf of bread and I cut it in half, put half here and half there, that's not dosh. Even if I take the inside of the bread and put it here and the outside there, that's not dosh, because it's all ochel. It's all the same thing. It's only dosh if you have something inside a different thing. So that's not a shash of dosh, because mashka bala ochel ke ochel dami. Now, why is this even controversial? Because of the Rabbeinu Chananel. Because a little later on, now again, I didn't really understand the logic of this Rabbeinu Chananel very well. Maybe someone else could tell me if they understood it better. I thought this Rabbeinu Chananel was a big stretch. But Limaisa, the Rabbeinu Chananel points out, says we have Rav and Shmuel saying it's mutter, and no one says it's usser. So it seems like, you know, pretty clear. If you're an Orthodox Jew, it's mutter. But he points out that it could be, it's not coincidence, that later on in the Gemara we have machlokas in Rav and Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan. Now I would have said it is coincidence, because they don't argue about anything to do with this case. They argue about something else, right? They're arguing about kvashim ushlakas, which we'll get to soon. If you squeeze pickled vegetables, if you squeeze cooked vegetables, so they argue about what happens if you squeeze them to get out the juice. Is that sometimes mutter? Is it always also drabanan? Or according to Rabbi Yochanan, is it also daraisa? It's chayiv. So Rav and Shmuel holds it's not chayiv midaraisa, and Shmuel, to put them both in the same general category, and Rabbi Yochanan holds it is also midaraisa. You're chayiv for squeezing out this liquid. So what did Rabbeinu Chananel say? He says, Rabbi Yochanan said you're chayiv for squeezing out the liquid from kvashim and shlakos. He didn't say it depends what you squeeze it into. Therefore, it must be your chayiv even if you squeeze it into food. And it must be that Rabbi Yochanan argues Rav and Shmuel and holds even if you're squeezing into food, it's still an Isser Daraisa. So Rabbeinu Chananel Paskus an Isser Daraisa. Now this, you know, unless there's some lumdus Rabbeinu Chananel, I'm just telling you the pshat of Rabbeinu Chananel, unless there's some secret lumdus that I'm not aware of, seems like a very big chiddush, this Rabbeinu Chananel. Just because Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayiv, you squeeze kvashim ushlokos, why does that mean you're chayiv whether you squeeze them into food or not into food? I mean, all over Shas it says you're chayiv for shchita. No one makes the diuk, it must be even if you squeeze into food. No, you're chayiv for shchita if you do shchita the regular way, into a bowl. So maybe Rabbi Yochanan just meant you're chayiv for shchita of kvashim ushlokos if you squeeze them the regular way into a bowl. Lemaisa, though, the Rabbeinu Chananel has two chidushim here. Number one, which are against... The first one's against all the Rishonim. Against all the Rishonim, he says, if you squeeze, Rabbi Yochanan's trying to say that even if you squeeze them into food, you're still chayiv. Then the second thing he says is, and we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, which in and of itself is not so posh, we should paskin like Rabbi Yochanan's machlokas Rishonim. But Sir Rabbeinu Chananel makes two assumptions. First, he makes what seems to be a very mechudish, very difficult assumption, that when Rabbi Yochanan says you're chayiv for squeezing pickles, he means even into food. And then he says, we paskin taka like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, that's what Rabbeinu Chananel says. So Rabbeinu Chananel, in the end, it's a machlotzin, all the Rishon of Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel learns from Rabbi Yochanan, who he then paskins like, that you're chayiv even if you squeeze into food against Rav and Shmuel. And he says, it doesn't bother me, it's against Rav and Shmuel. I already knew he was against Rav and Shmuel. While all the other Rishonim say no, Rabbi Yochanan's not dealing with this issue. He's dealing with a completely separate, different issue. He's dealing with the issue of the halachic status of cooked and pickled vegetables. He's not dealing with squeezing into foods. That's not his topic at all. So, don't bring that into his discussion. So, that's about closing. Rov Rishonim Ben Chananel, the Mechaber Paskins like all the Rishonim, that Mashka Vala Ochel Ko'ochel Dami, and therefore, not only in Tum Vatara Mashka Vala Ochel Ko'ochel Dami, but in Shabbos as well. If you squeeze out a mashka bala ochel, that's like taking ochel from ochel, and it's not dush. Are we at all choshish for Rabbeinu Chananel? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Shadar Rosh that maybe a machmir tavo a love bracha. No, but that's a really big bracha, because Rabbeinu Chananel is a very minority shita, and it's very, Lanius Daiti, of course, it's a very strange shot in the Gemara. Doesn't seem to have a very firm basis in the Gemara, Lanius Daiti. And the Shulchan Aruch did say a machmir tavo love bracha, but in the Rush Piskei rushed in the back of the Gemara, he passed on the Gamri against Rabbi Nochanan. So, and everyone else didn't even say a Machmer Tov Alav Bracha, but the Maisa, the Mishnah Berurah, certainly right. Hamachmer in the Bir Alach, he says, Hamachmer Tov Alav Bracha, no question about that, but Ladina, it's much like all the Rishonim and Pshat of Shas. Oh no, I have no problem with this svara that you could hold that. My problem with the Rebbeinu Chanan is not that he gets dochuk to hold that it's considered schita. You could hold for Tumah v'Tahara it's an ochel, but for Shabbos it's schita. My problem is, why go against Rav and Shmuel based on a diuk from Rav Yochanan that doesn't seem to be a good textual diuk? That was what I found was strange about Rav Yochanan. Like, I just didn't see why within Rav Yochanan someplace he had such a strong diuk that was ready to...
It could be that he started from the svara and then looked for
right, okay, but it's not such a bochur svara. I mean, Rav and Shmuel didn't think it was a good svara, right? So why would he start from a svara that Rav and Shmuel didn't like?
Also, the Machmer Tov Alav Bracha, is that even by, how far that extends? Only by the case of Yochanan was talking about Parshat Shlakos, or Machmer Tov Alav Bracha even by Tidim Yonim also?
You mean, is the Machmer Tov Alav Bracha even by Rabbanans or only by Doraisis?
In other words, like, should we Machmer not to squeeze on...
The Mishnah Berurah, I don't think the Mishnah Berurah says how far he's taking this Machmir Tavel of Bruch Alamaisa. Right, but yeah, but is he saying that only about grapes and olives or about all fruits? Which are also Shash Dorais, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Don't ask me why, that will get to. I mean, do ask me, but not say.
By the Be'er Halacha, the end of the Be'er Halacha. Right, the, what? And the Be'er Halacha here, I think.
By lemons he's not machber tavel abracha. It could be that by tutor rimonim he would say machber tavel abracha. Right, so could, by lemons he wouldn't, but by tutor rimonim he would. Because lemons are...
It said lemons also. It said lemons
very rimonim. You basically said no. Okay, but the Mishnah says not even machber tavel abracha by lemons. The Mishnah Berurah says that this whole chumrah of the rach of Machmer Tov Alav Bracha is only by other fruits, not by lemons. So by lemons, says the Machmer, doesn't even have to be Tov Alav Bracha. But by Tutu Rimonim, even though they're only drop lemons, seems a Machmer Tov Alav Bracha. Okay, so there's certainly room to be Machmer like Rabbeinu Chananel in this case, if someone wants to. Now, Lemaisa, but let's, for now, forget about Rabbeinu Chananel and stick to the strict in. So I'll be strict in. Mashkav Ala Ochel, Ke Ochel Domi, like all the Rishonim. So what does it mean, mashka bala ochel? When is it considered mashka bala ochel? So what the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch here is, letakein ha-ochel. It's improving the ochel. Meaning, it doesn't have to actually go inside the ochel. It just has to improve the ochel and be tuffle to the ochel. So if I squeeze a lemon onto fish, right? Even if I would squeeze a grape onto fish, right, so if I would squeeze a fruit onto fish, even though the juice doesn't go into the fish, it sits on top of the fish, but since its purpose of being there is to give tam to the fish, that's mashka bala ochel, that's ka'ochel domi, that's mutter. If I would squeeze a lemon or some other fruit onto salad to be the salad dressing, even though it's not absorbed into the salad, even though I could see it and it pools at the bottom, still since it's coming, latakin, the taste of the salad, that is mutter, that's considered mashka haba le'ochel. If we want to get more details, the Shulchan Aruch a little later in Simen Tav Kof Hei, Se'if Aleph, the beginning of Simen Tav Kof Hei, talks about the halachos of milking a cow or goat or whatever it is into food on Yontif. And the Mechaber tells us very, very logically, he says there are actually two cases when you can consider it mashka bala ochel. A, if the liquid is going to takin ha'ochel, like salad dressing or fish seasoning or b'chuli. B, even if it's not matakin ochel, if it mamish gets absorbed into the ochel, then you have to admit mashka b'lo ochel because mamish absorbed into the ochel. So let's say I had, you know, why I'd want to do this is obviously in the funny cases. But let's say I had a cholent and I wanted to squeeze an orange into it. And taka, it did not improve the taste of a cholent. But for some reason I wanted to do it anyway, and the orange juice got totally absorbed into the barley and the beans. Then that would also be mutter, you know, where I wanted to squeeze it into bread and it totally sunk into the bread and disappeared. Even though it wasn't. This case, l'takin ochel, that's also considered mashka bala ochel because that mamish disappears into the ochel. The only reason the Shulchan Aruch didn't say it here is because people wouldn't normally want to do it if it's not matakin, the taste of the ochel. But theoretically, let's say, you know, I needed to milk my cow, you know, and just because the cow was in pain, so I took a big cake and I milked it and all the milk got absorbed into the cake. Even though it didn't make the cake any better. But that would also be mutter, because taka's bala ochel, not in the logical sense of being metakin and topple to the ochel, but in the physical sense of mamish being in the ochel. So either way, whether it's taste-wise metakin ochel, or whether it's physically absorbed into the ochel, that's considered mashke haba le ochel. The poskin, the mefarshim, and simen tuf kofhei, even goes so far as to say, even if a little of it is not metakin the taste of the ochel, or is not absorbed in, most of it is, but some small part isn't, that's still okay. So we go by the rove in general, if this liquid is, you know, metakin the taste of the ochel, so even if I squeeze the lemon onto fish, maybe some of that lemon juice is metakin the taste of the fish, but a little of it maybe squirted off to the side, or maybe it was too much, maybe I overdid it a little, doesn't matter. If in general, the rove of this metakin the taste of the ochel, or absorbed into the ochel, that's good enough. I don't have to worry about what happens to every drop. We give it a general hagdara. Now, the end of the Shulchan Aruch is very interesting. The end of the Shulchan Aruch says, Avolim ein ba tavshel usser. But if I'm squeezing it into something without a tavshel, that's usser. Okay. That's fairly obvious. The Gemara has a slightly different way of explaining this. The Lashon of the Gemara is, right? Cholev sochet adam eshkol shalom letoch ha-kedera avolo letoch ha-ka'ora. You can do it into a kedera, a pot, but not into a ka'ora, a bowl. What's the difference between a kedera and a ka'ora? So what would you have said if I told you this Gemara? You can be sochet into a kedera, but not into a ka'ora. What would you have said the Gemara is trying to say? That you could be sochet into, but not into an empty kli, which is how the Mechaber seems to take it, right? And the Mechaber says you can squeeze it into a pot with food, but not without food. That would be the simplest way of explaining the Gemara. Just meant you could squeeze it into food, but not into non-food. Rashi adds something a little to this Gemara. Rashi adds this funny phrase, "Avalo l'tocha ka'ara, de zimnin de la mashke koi." Because sometimes you want to drink it. Avagav de ka'ara lo shasi inish lo muchamilsa ka'isr. Even though you don't usually drink out of a bowl, still it's not muchamilsa and it's usser. So Rashi seems to say it's usser because it's not muchamilsa. It's not obvious what you want to do with it. So Rashi seems to be teaching us a chiddush here for the lashon v'lo l'tocha ka'ara. Again, the Shulchan Aruch didn't seem to have that chiddush, but Rashi here seems to be telling us a chiddush. L'tocha ka'ara is usher because it's not obvious what you plan to do with it. It's not obvious what your plans are. Now, what's the case where it's usher because it's not obvious what your plans are? Meaning, because it might look like you want to drink it, right? What Rashi seems to be saying is, there's like an iser drabanan because it might look like you're going to drink it. So what's the case where Rashi says that that a ka'ara is an iser drabanan because it might look like you want to drink it? So the Bir Halacha quotes a machlokas about this. The Bir Halacha's preferred interpretation of Rashi is that what Rashi means is a ka'ara with ochel. That's Rashi's finish. There's a kedera with ochel and a ka'ara with ochel. That what Rashi means is, even into a ka'ara with ochel is also drabanan. Why? Because since you don't usually put ochel into a ka'ara in this, or I shouldn't say that, since you don't always put ochel into a ka'ara, therefore it might look like you're squeezing it into an empty kli. So Rashi reads this, the Mishnah Brura, the Bir Halacha reads Rashi, as the Bir Halacha reads Rashi, as saying that even into a car with ochel where machmer midrabanan. Because it's not muchamils, it's not obvious there's ochel in Tagara. Because usually people have ochel in a kadira. That's the way the Bir Halacha preferred to read this Rashi. And then he says, that's for sure the Bir of Rashi, and that's what the Matzi Yehuda says, and that's what the Meiri says. Not like some Achronim who understood Rashi differently. Okay, but the Mishnah Berurah dismisses these other Achronim. Okay, but Lav Dafka. Could be the other Achronim of Pshat and Rashi. What's the other way of reading Pshat and Rashi? Maybe Rashi talking about a Ka'ara without food. And maybe Rashi saying is a Ka'ara without food is also Midrabanan because it's not Mucha Milsa. Why shouldn't a Ka'ara without food be also Daraisa? What's this Mucha Milsa? Maybe what's Pshat and Rashi? So what's Pshat and Rashi? What are these other Achronim things of Pshat and Rashi? That maybe what Rashi means is this. What if I squeeze it into a Ka'ara without food, having in mind that I'm then going to dip my food in it or put it into food and mix it with food? What if I, in the here and now, squeeze it into a bowl of liquid, but for the ultimate goal of dipping my food in it and eating it with food? What about that case? Right, my wife says she's, baking a cake. I guess it would be Yontif. And she needs orange juice, a quarter cup of orange juice. So I take an orange, and I squeeze it into a measuring cup, a quarter cup of orange juice, and say, here it is, use it for your cake. So maybe that's what Rashi meant. Maybe that's what Rashi meant. That case is usher midrabanan. Why? Because someone might think I'm going to drink the orange juice. It's not muchamils that I plan to put in the cake, or it's not muchamils that I plan to dip into it, right? Well, I'm making a dip. I'm making a dip totally tuffled to the celery and the carrots, etc. So I squeeze my lemons into the, without getting into lemons, oranges, plums, whatever, into the dip. So again, it's not mucha milsa for a dip. It might be I'm making a drink. So it's us or midrabanan because it's not mucha milsa. But maybe it's mutter midaraisa. In which case, Rashi's not coming to teach the chumrah. The Bir Halacha, the Rashi was teaching us a chumrah. You thought it was always mutter, squeeze it into food. It's also squeeze it into food in a ka'ara. Midrabanan. Maybe Rashi teaching Zakula. You thought it was usher d'oraisa to squeeze it into a bowl? No, it's usher d'oraisa to squeeze it into a bowl for the purpose of drinking. It's only usher d'rabanan to squeeze it into a bowl for the purpose of eating. And that's only d'rabanan because it's no mucha milsa. So what we have then is a very fundamental machlokas. And the Mishnah Berurah didn't really like reading Rashi so much that way. What we have here then is a very fundamental machlokas. What's the din if I squeeze it as a mashke, planning to then mix it or dip it or use it for the taste of an ochel? So it could be also d'oraisa, because I go by what it is now. Or you could say like Rashi, like the non-Bir Halacha Rashi, it's only asur d'rabanan because it's lo mucha milsa. It really means the rice is mutter because we go by what it's going to be eventually. So where do we see this machlokas? This is machlokas. The Mishnah Berurah quotes in Sibkan Yudches. He deals with this case explicitly. Afilo daito litno acharkach l'tavshel. What if you squeeze it into a bowl in and of itself? I just squeeze oranges into a cup with intention to then use it for food. So Rashi says this machlokas achronim gam kein asur shebeinu shi'is chetenu tov l'tavshel. It's asur. And the Drisha says it is Chayiv. So if the Drisha says Chayiv, who says Aser? So Rav Sion tells the Prima Gadim in the Red Vaz. Where did the Prima Gadim get the idea that it was Aser and not Chayiv? From Rashi. He's the people who had the other Pshat and Rashi. Right? The Prima Gadim, whatever page we're on now. Says, that Masha Kadr,
so the Prima Gadim doesn't this part. Primigadim says, "Shows all the stuff for there." Kachas primigadim os. Hey. Okay, the primigadim doesn't say that from Rashi, but
Mastoma, that's the other Pshat in Rashi. So we have then is three ways of interpreting what the Gaon means by L'toch HaKedira V'lo L'toch HaKa'ara. The simple way, seems to be the Mechaber, is that L'toch HaKedira means into food. L'toch HaKa'ara means not into food. The more complicated way is Rashi. L'toch HaKedira means Mucha Milsa. L'toch HaKa'ara is an Isser Drabbanan of Lo Mucha Milsa. There are two ways to interpret him. He could be being more machmir l'tocha ka'ara, even into food in the ka'ara is also drabbanan. Or he could be saying l'tocha ka'ara, even into an empty ka'ara that you're then going to use for food is asur drabbanan. L'maisa, we don't, what do we say? We don't hold like the machmir version of Rashi. Bir Allah says shitas yachid. We're matter into food in any kli, and we asur by itself into any kli. Whether if you squeeze it into a kli with intention to then mix it with food, is that d'oraisa d'rabbanan? There's not really enough gemina yet, because either way you shouldn't do it. But that's a machlokas achronim. So again, what's the machlokas achronim? The drisha says we go by the here and now. If here and now you're squeezing it into a bowl or a cup by itself, that's mashke from Ochlan's also d'oraisa. The Prima Gadim and the Radvaz say we go by the ultimate goal. If the ultimate goal is to then use it for food, then even though right now it's a drink in and of itself, it's mutter midaraisa. It's only asur midrabbanan because it looks like you might drink it. Now, what might be a nafkamina of this chakira? What might be a nafkamina of this chakira? Of whether we go by the here and now, or whether we go by the ultimate goal? Okay, but the more clever than that, the Chazon Ish. Because what does the Mishnah Berurah say? The Mishnah Berurah says like this. The Mishnah Berurah, when he talks about lemons a little later, he says, Taka, you can't squeeze lemons into tea, but you can. Everyone knows. You don't need a Mishnah Berurah. Squeeze lemons into the sugar and put the sugar in the tea. Because after all, it's mashka bala ochel ka ochel dami. It's absorbed in the sugar. So you can't squeeze lemons in the sugar and put them in the tea. And the Chazon Ish argues on the Mishnah Berurah and says, that's crazy. Says you can't squeeze lemons into sugar and put them in the tea. That's not mashke bala ochel, because the sugar is going to get dissolved in the tea and end up a mashke. So it seems to be that they're arguing about the same yisod. The Mishnah Berurah says you can squeeze lemons into sugar because he looks at the here and now, like the drisha. Right now it's mashke bala ochel, the ochel dummy. I don't care what you're going to do with your sugar next. I care where it falls now. The Chazon Ish says no, like the Prima Gadim Radvaz. I look at the ultimate goal. If the lemon juice is going into sugar, I'll manas that the sugar go into tea, then the lemon juice is going into tea, it's a mashka bala mashka, and it should be usser. So it seems to be, again, theoretically one could make a sfar to be machalik, but I'll be pashtus, this should be the exact same machlokis. The drisha goes by the here and now, so it should be machmir that if I squeeze into a bowl to then mix with ochel, it's I have a khatas. But they kill that if I squeeze a lemon into sugar, it's mutter, even though the sugar is going into the tea. The Prima Gadim and the Radvaz go by the ultimate goal, so they should be makel that if I squeeze orange juice into a cup to then use for food, it's only in a Isser D'rabbanan. They should be machmer like the Chazon Ish, that if I squeeze lemons into sugar to put the sugar into tea, that's usser, because the ultimate goal is a mashke, and it's a mashke habala mashke. So in terms of this machlok, in the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish, it's a, yeah? One could be mechalik. You could say, if it's going to an ochel at any stage, whether now or later, that's mashka bala ochel. And be mekel both ways. But that's not a neat chiluk. How do we hold the maisa? Do we hold like the Mishnah Berurah, like the Chazon Ish? So certainly the minhag olam is that people squeeze lemons into the sugar to put it into the tea. But again, that's not necessarily a raya as to how we hold, because maybe that's just because many posts can say it's mutter, most posts can probably say it's mutter to squeeze lemons. So any kula that we're knowing by lemons, not necessarily a raya that we really hold that kula. Maybe the raya is that you put all these lemons together and we taka aren't so choshish about lemons. So it's not so clear. The minigolems are sure to squeeze the lemons into the sugar. I'm not telling anyone to not squeeze lemons into the sugar. The minigolem is that either lemons are mutter to squeeze, or we like to hold like the Mishnah Berurah and go by the here and now it's going into the sugar. Or the maisa, worst comes to worst, it's not grapes and olives. Anyway, it's not a chash with the raisa. Whether I would be so bold as to squeeze grapes into sugar to then put into tea, I'm not sure. You know, then I might be a little more nervous that maybe Taka the Chazon Ish is a good Svar, he says, go by the ultimate goal, and it's really ending up in Mashkin. Who cares about what it is in the weigh stations? So, the minig olam is we make little lemons, you know, whether we'd also make little tutav rimonim, whether we'd also make little zeis vanovim, it's not so posh, and I would personally be nervous about, you know, I'd be very reluctant to squeeze grapes into sugar to then put into tea, because Taka me, the Chazon Ish is right. After all, based on Rashi, the Chazon Ish should be right. If Rashi holds there's no Issa D'oraisa to squeeze it into a bowl to then mix with food, then there should be an Issa D'oraisa to squeeze it into food to then mix with a drink. So, I would be nervous about other fruits. But lemons, the manigolums, the mimeko, in general, we're not, you know, we seem to not worry about these things in the manigolum, at least when it comes to lemons. I don't know, is there a manigolum to do this with other fruits? Never heard of anyone squeezing any other fruits into sugar to then mix with tea. Have you? Or not. The in the next sif hey, the Shulchan Aruch said even before we get to the next sif hey, there's something left out at the end of Dalet, which is Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, "Mi diver beinu nilmol hol v'adam ezel tochakdir v'lo tochakdir." He says the same way that you're allowed to squeeze grapes into food, but not into a cup. You're allowed to milk a goat into food, but not into a bucket. It's the same problem, right? The goat's food, the milk is a mashke, but if it's going into porridge, then it's a mashke v'la ochel, ke ochel dami, it should be okay. Why don't we bring it down to Shulchan Aruch if we reject the rach and we paskin like Rav and Shmuel about the anavim? Why don't we paskin like Rav and Shmuel about the goat? So that is easy. Because on Yontif, we do talk of bring that down to Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tav Kuf Hey. Because on Yontif, the ez is ochel, and if the milk is going into food, it's ochel from ochel. But on Shabbos, the ez is not ochel, because you can't eat an animal on Shabbos, because there's an iser of shechita. It's one of the malachos that's usher on Shabbos and mutter on Yontif. So therefore, on Shabbos, we call the ez, we can't call the ez ochel, we have to call the ez psolis. You can't eat it at all on Shabbos. So, doesn't matter whether the milk's going into a bucket or into a porridge. Whether it's ochel or mashke, you can't take ochel out of mashke out of psolis, and you can't take ochel out of psolis. Either way, you can't take ochel out of psolis on Shabbos. So that's why we have no heter of milking on Shabbos, the famous milking on Shabbos problem, right? How do you milk them? How do you milk the cows on Shabbos? You know, so the answer is not to milk them into porridge, at least not pasha, to milk them into porridge, because that doesn't help, because that's taking ochel out of psolis. What exactly is the problem of taking ochel out of psolis? Well, we'll see that in a moment, because in Sif Hey, the Shulchan Aruch brings another application of this.
Why did Rav Chista say that it was? Why did he say it was mutter then?
Because the Tosa says he was talking about Yontif.
Are
yeah, Tosa says not that we reject him; it's that he was a Meikar only talking about Yontif.
Why? Why are we like the Ramban and everyone else is like really used to this food and this talking about Shabbos? Like Ramban and the Rashi, they all say that they really used food. They really used talking about Shabbos. Really
because we hold like Tosfos that even though, and it's really it is food on Shabbos, right? I could eat the ace. It's just, it's perfectly edible. It's perfectly kosher. It's just a side problem, right? An Aryeh D'Yisurah of Yaleh. But nonetheless, we hold like Tosfos. We pass like Tosfos. We're Machri, you could say like Tosfos. That this heter is only on Yontif, not on, only on Yontif, not on Shabbos. That's how we pass it. This comes up also and said, "Hey, Yesh Vishomer Duet in the Bolser Shemut L'Sochlo Tochochel." Or Rav Yosef said that I'm not sure which Rav Yosef this was. Was it Rav Yosef Tovelin? It was someone before Rabbeinu Tam. Because Rabbeinu Tam argued on him apparently. So Rav Yosef said that you're allowed to squeeze Bolser, which is unripe grapes, into Ochel as well. But Rabbeinu Tam also Rav Bolser Hol Vein Roy Lecho. Rabbeinu Tam asers Bolser because since unripe grapes are not really edible, so you have the same problem as the even a bigger problem, actually, than the chalivas eis, because it's not just halachni inedible. It's really inedible. So since the boser is not good for eating, even if you squeeze it into food, you're getting ochel out of psoles, which is still a halachic problem. We are machmer in this case, like Rabbeinu Tam, the, right there, where the Echronim are machriah, lahachmer like Rabbeinu Tam, that it's a problem of taking ochel out of psoles. So you can't milk a cow on Shabbos, even into food, and you can't squeeze boser on Shabbos, even into food. What's Taka the problem with this boser and this cow on Shabbos? So there are two ways to learn Rabbeinu Tam here. The Prima Gadim learns Rabbeinu Tam here in the Mishnah Zos of Kut and Dalet, as the Prima Gadim learns Rabbeinu Tam as an Isser of Dush, where Rabbeinu Tam is trying to say is that this is considered Dush because you're getting an Ochel out of Psolus. However, most of the Rishonim there, if you look in the Rashba and Ritva, all the Rishonim most of the Rishonim in the Sechah Shabbos there, and most of the Achronim learn Rabbeinu Tam as an Isser of Borer. Rabbeinu Tam's not saying it's Dush to milk your cow on Shabbos or Dush to squeeze your boser into food on Shabbos. He's just saying that it's Borer to do that because you are getting Solas out of Ochel. So there's many nafkaminas of that, which the Mishnah discusses in Sif Hei, but we'll have to come back to this Amir Tashem. Now, if I could just ask as we go, where is everyone up to in Seder? How far ahead are you in Seder from where we're up to right now? Just a little?
Not ahead.
Caught up. Even. Okay, so since tomorrow is the last day of Zman, I do want to have a little shiur tomorrow just so we can be misakeim what we learn in Seder tomorrow, but we don't need an hour and a half for that. So someone's got to do something about this air conditioning. It's obviously not working properly. Josh is in charge of that. But tomorrow, let's have shiur at 6:20, and we'll just be able to summarize however far we get tomorrow. What? Oh, tomorrow's Tuesday. Tomorrow is Tuesday. So the Maisa, maybe we should levater. So we'll just remember what we learn tomorrow till after Bein Hazmanim. Let me just leave you with one brief Dvar Torah then. This is our last shiur of the week. Very, very nice drush from Rav Yaakov Haber, not the one from here, the one from YU. He said, we all know one of the strangest parts about the Yom Kippur Avodah is that there are five sets of clothing, because the Kohen Gadol has to wear the Big Day Lavan twice. First time makes a lot of sense. He does the entire Avodah Yom Kippur in the Big Day Lavan, so we understand he has to wear the special Big Day Lavan. He does the whole thing from beginning to the end, all the Viduyim and the Par and the Sar and the Shor LaZazel, everything. Then he goes back to his Big Day Zahav and does some of the regular Avodah. Then he puts his Big Day Lavan again, like the second important time, and he takes the Kafan Machta out of the Kodesh Kadosh. So, Alpi, again, it's like Zeres HaKasav. I don't necessarily understand everything of how the Beis HaMikdash works, but it seems a little strange. The first time is this whole ritual with the Kaparavol of Klal Yisrael, Lefnai, Lefnim, Bechuli, we understand. The second time he goes through the whole preparation just to take out the Kafan Machta. What's so significant about taking out the Kafan Machta? So he says, maybe I'll be Jewish. The first time, that's Yom Kippur. You go Lefnai to Lefnim, it's a unique experience, the height of spirituality, it's a unique day, different from all other days, when you achieve lofty heights that you can't achieve all year long. And you might think that's one important thing. Torah tells you, no, there's something else important. There's going into the Kodesh Kodashim, and then there's taking something out of the Kodesh Kodashim, which is just equally as important as it is. The heights you reach on Yom Kippur, it's equally important to take out of the Kodesh Kodesh and take something out of Yom Kippur and bring it back into the world of Chol, through the Kodesh, down to the Chatzar, down to your everyday life, and take a little bit of that Yom Kippur with you and bring it into your everyday life. And that's what the Torah is being merames by this second change into Big Day Lava. Gemar Chasima Tov. What? I am not here for Yom Kippur, I'm sorry.
What?
I, you know, I,